Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, we're glad you're here today, and I invite you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. We're studying the book of Romans together. We're in chapter 6, and I'm always tempted to read chapter 6, 7, and 8, because I am persuaded that a great many well-meaning folks who would characterize themselves as evangelical Bible-believing Christians read chapter 7 as if it were a standalone, and because they haven't taken into account chapter 6 and chapter 8, they misunderstand chapter 7. And I don't want that to happen. But I'm only going to read chapter 6 today. You have to read chapter 7 and 8. And then next week, when we're looking at chapter 7, God willing, you need to remember what we went over today in chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. This is God's word. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you were weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is God's word. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. There is an essential question that is the focus of this chapter. It occurs at the beginning of the chapter, and it occurs at the midpoint of the chapter. Now, I remind you, the chapter divisions were added later. It's not like Paul said, chapter 6. And that didn't happen. But this is divided as it is because there are pieces of Paul's argument. Sometimes Bishop Usher did it better than other times. He's the guy who divided it into chapters for us. Sometimes he gets it right. And here I believe he did a good job in chapter 6, starting with this central question and then continuing when the question is brought up again. If you wanted to have 6a and 6b, it's verse 1 and verse 15. Look at it in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Look at verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? The answer to the question is the same both times. By no means. Absolutely not. Why? Well, we died to sin. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Now, I'll tell you this. It is really hard to disciple people who aren't saved. And there are tons of people in most churches, not you all, you're just all saints, but actually, this church does have a remarkably high percentage of regenerate people, and it is refreshing for me as a pastor, okay? Because if you're trying to teach a corpse to dance, it's awkward, to say the least. When we are born again, we have a new life, and the old life is over. You don't have a foot in both camps. When a child is born, they can't stay partially in the womb. There's not a mother anywhere that would agree to that. Nor a father either, I might add. Okay? It is just absolutely not okay. You come out of the darkness into the light. New birth, an illustration Jesus came up with, so you better not. Oh, that's one of those Baptist expressions, born again. I've heard that before. Jesus is the one who said that, John chapter 3. Okay? And so when a person is truly born again, they have a new life. They have a new life. And that's what Paul is saying here. God is speaking through him and telling us, we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Now, do notice that he says, how can we live in it any longer? He doesn't say, if you're really born again, you'll never sin ever again. I'm glad he didn't say that, or I'd still be praying to get born again. Right? After we're born again, we still mess up. We still, from time to time, sin. But there's a difference between sinning and living in it. 1 John starts out, and we refer to it every week when we take communion. 1 John, early in the first chapter, says, if we claim that we're without sin, we're only deceiving ourselves. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So on the one hand, Christians still sin sometimes. But we can't live in it. We absolutely cannot live in it. It is not an option for a Christian to live in sin. Well, why is that? Our baptism is a picture of the reality of our new life in Christ. He says, don't you know, verse 3, that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Baptism, according to Scripture, involves a picture of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Oh, he's sounding Baptist again. I just hate it when he does that. It's just... Be sensitive to your audience, Jim. I'm very sensitive to my audience, okay? I want to be true to him. I want to stick with what he says. And if you look at the meaning of the original word, baptism, and you look at what the Jews were doing at this time, it involves getting dunked. That's what they referred to as baptism. Now, is this an essential point? The reason it matters is not because you have to be immersed in order to go to heaven. It's because you have to be joined with Christ. And baptism is a picture of that, and it's a picture he commanded us to do. If you wanted to convert to Judaism, part of the requirement of conversion would be for you to be baptized by immersion in a mikvah. Because they know what the word baptism means. If you wanted to get your baby or young child baptized in a Greek Orthodox church, where apparently the people know Greek, they would take that baby and they would plunge it under the water in a large basin or a small pool. They dunk babies at the Greek Orthodox church. Why do they do that? Because that's what the word means. Why does it matter? Dunking babies, really? We'll talk about babies another time. The question is, what's it a picture of? It's a picture of union with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And the Apostle Paul is speaking God's word when he says, remember what happened to you. You were buried with Christ in baptism in order that you might live a new life. The consequence of that is that you now have the power to say no to sin, which you didn't have before. You used to be a slave to sin, and the law could not set you free. All the law did was to show you your problem. We had a problem. The law told us what it was. You're a sinner. You keep sinning. You got to stop that. It's deadly. Wages of sin is death. You're headed for hell, bub. What do I need to do? Well, good luck. You need to keep the law. You need to straighten up, fly right. Grab hold of those bootstraps and pull hard. I can't do it. I try and I try and I try and I keep messing up. Doggone it, what am I going to do? Who will deliver me from this body of death? That's how chapter 7 ends. And the answer is in chapter 8. Thanks be to God. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know why? Because his Spirit has set us free from the law of sin and death. So in chapter 6, Paul's giving us the foundation for this. He's laying it up for us so that we understand if you're in Christ, you're no longer a slave. Look at it. If we have been united with him like this in his death, We will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So what should we do? In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That is what we're being told to do. In other words, I need to consider that I'm dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. I need to start thinking that way. I need to start believing what God says about my relationship with him and about the fact that now I don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to keep doing that. Well, what benefit did you receive from the things that you're now ashamed of? Those things led to death. Don't do it anymore. Well, I can't help it. Yes, you can. Well, but I've been doing this for years. Yeah, but now you have a new life. Well, how do I get away from this? Just consider yourself dead to it. Consider yourselves dead to sin. That's a command from God. And he's telling us this because he loves us. In the same way, consider or count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, verse 11. Therefore, get this phrase, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Don't let it happen. Well, I just can't help it. Yes, you can. If you're a Christian, you can. If the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the risen Christ lives in you, you can say no to sin. So does that mean if I ever sin, I'm not really a Christian? No, it means if you ever sin, you need to confess your sins, for he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You don't continue to live in it. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness. What do you mean offer? I didn't offer. Yes, you did. You make a decision. Don't pretend that you have no control. You're believing the devil's lie. Satan is the one who tells you you can't change. You've always been that way. It runs in the family. Okay? Just accept it. That's who you are. Okay? People shouldn't make you feel bad about it. You're not under law. You're under grace. Yeah, you're under grace and you're free to say no to sin. Really? That's what it says. That's what it says. You have the power now to say no. I want you to suppose that you had a horrible, hideous boss who, you know, 80 hours a week wasn't enough. Always pushing for more. Every time it's your day off, they're calling you and saying, I'm so sorry, but we need you to come in. We got this report that's coming up and da-da-da-da-da. Okay? And you finally quit working there. Okay? I'm not gonna work for that anymore. I'm gonna work for this boss. This boss loves you. This boss says, I want you to take some time off. This boss says, you know, you're doing a great job, and I've got great plans for you. We're grooming you for bigger things, and you know, we're glad you're here. And all of a sudden, your old boss calls you up on the phone and says, listen, we need you to come in Saturday. And you've said yes to that voice so many times that for a moment there you think, oh gosh, I was really hoping to be off this Saturday. And then it occurs to you, I don't work for him anymore. And you say, no, I won't be there. I don't work for you anymore. We used to be able to hang up phones like that. It was very dramatic and very, very satisfying. Now we just have to go. Doesn't feel the same. But here's the thing. God is telling you, his dear child, you can say no. You need to say no. You must say no. Learn to say no. You can do this. I'll give you the power. Wow. Now, if you don't believe this, you will not understand chapter 7. Okay? You're going to get the wrong conclusion about chapter 7. But if you believe this, he says, sin shall, verse 14, sin shall not be your master because you're not under law but under grace. Now again, I don't want you to misinterpret this. Verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you're slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. That's not just something that happens in heaven. Now in heaven, we will no longer sin at all ever. We will be free from the presence of sin. We are not yet free from the presence of sin. We still get tripped up sometime. The difference is this. You don't have to keep doing it. Don't offer your body to sin, which leads to death. I put this in human terms, he says, because you're weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. Verse 22, again, we need to get hold of this in order to understand what's coming. Now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I carry in my Bible a little piece of paper that is a reminder to me of something that happened years ago when I was on sabbatical at Marco Island Beach Resort. Lovely Hilton property. I don't get any money for mentioning that. But I am a member of the Hilton Honors Club, which means that if you stay in places like Hampton Inn often enough, eventually you get enough points that you can go to a place like this. Okay? The Marco Island Beach Resort by Hilton. I took the family there while I was working on a project for our school years ago. Paid for it with my points. Beautiful pool near the beach with all kinds of nice things around. And our first night there, there was this beautiful buffet table loaded with soft drinks, alcoholic beverages, various heavy hors d'oeuvres, I mean, really nice stuff. It was a really nice buffet. And people were going over from the pool and helping themselves and so forth. And so I said to one of the employees, is this for everyone or is this just for a certain group? They said, oh, it's just by invitation. And I said, oh, okay. So we didn't go. My kids didn't get to enjoy it. My wife didn't get to enjoy it. It wasn't something where you can pay for it. It was a special thing. As we were leaving the resort, I was deciding which of the little papers we needed to throw away and, you know, keys you turn back in. And I found this in my papers, and it says, we request the honor of your presence at the resort's manager's reception this Monday evening between the hours of 5 and 6 p.m. on the Sunset Deck. This event will feature refreshments and conversation. We look forward to meeting you there. I was invited. My whole family was invited. I was a member. And I totally missed out because I didn't pay attention to the materials I'd been given in writing. It wasn't I wasn't listening. It's I just wasn't paying attention to what they handed me when I got there. Pay attention to what it says. This says you don't have to continue in sin that grace may abound. God forbid. By no means. Absolutely not. Don't keep doing the stuff that leads to death. It's not good for you. Oh, but some of it is kind of enjoyable for a while. But the Bible says you end up with a mouthful of gravel. That's not a good feeling. Don't love sin. Love God. Consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.